You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. Gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is ready to make his case for the presidency.
Jeb Bush expected to make the announcement he's running for the White House today at Miami-Dade College, the nation's largest university. Bush released his campaign logo, which is simply the name Jeb, in bold red print with an exclamation point after it. I'm Chuck Gomez.
Two Brooklyn Brothers guests at a posh wedding reception at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel Saturday night have been charged in connection with a shooting in the lobby. Wedding guests heard the commotion but weren't sure what to make of it.
We were just walking in and we just heard a gunshot. I thought something got dropped.
The NYPD says Vladimir Gutlevsky accidentally fired a black Ruger handgun he was carrying in his pants pocket. The bullet struck the floor and fragments of glass, marble, and other debris, wounding four people. Authorities are now into their 10th day of hunting for two convicted killers who escaped from a maximum security prison in upstate New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo says David Sweat and Richard Matt could be anywhere, including Mexico. This is USA Headline News.
I want you to imagine for just one second, what would it be like if you grew up in a country where there were no Bibles? And while you're thinking about that, imagine this, hearing the gospel, but not having a Bible that you can actually study and learn from. There's something that I want you to be involved in that this show is committed to, and that is bringing Bibles to those in Africa. Only one in 14 Christians in Africa have their own Bible. Many people hear the word, but don't have a Bible to study with. So that's why we've decided to partner with Bible League International to help bring those Bibles that are so needed to Africa. And the best part is it only costs $5 to provide a Bible to someone in Africa. If you want to talk about a donation that can have a massive impact, imagine $50 gives 10 Bibles to people that need them. $100 will send 20 Bibles to Africa. So right now, I'm asking you to call 1-800-YES-WORD and give at least $5 to provide a Bible for someone in Africa. That's 1-800-YES-WORD, 1-800-937-9673.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather here at huntedandchamberradio.com. Today, chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise cloudy, high near 85. A little humid out there, too, at least around here in the Flemington area. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. Lows in the 70s. Chance of showers on Tuesday in the afternoon. Perhaps some gusty winds and heavy rain. Otherwise, cloudy, high in the upper 80s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy. Clearing, lows in the 60s. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the 80s. Wednesday night again, slight chance of showers. Maybe a thunderstorm or two late at night. Showers likely on Thursday in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, up in the high in the upper 70s. And again, Thursday night, chance of showers. Looks like Friday clearing up, but possibly more rain for the weekend. We'll see. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hello, Chef Bill here. Welcome to the table. HuntedandChamberRadio.com. Every Monday we get together to talk about food, beverages, anything else that might cross our minds related to that. Got, let's see, this week, we've got a few good daily food celebrations. Father's Day is Sunday, another occasion, food occasions, I like to call them, chances to, good excuse to cook, right? Shouldn't really need an excuse, but I like to commemorate things with food. Helps with the memories. And what else? Graduate high school, middle school, graduations are all coming up, so the next week after that should be, actually this coming week, a lot going on. Oh, let's see our days. Today, Lobster Day. Lobster Day, the 15th of June. And like June, the whole month is actually fruit and veggies month, so it should be at least early harvest coming in, probably from the south, northeast. We're still, though, thank goodness for this rain. We'll get some stuff growing here. Waiting for the Jersey tomatoes and corn to come in. So Lobster Day on today, the 16th, is Fudge Day, National Fudge Day, chocolate fudge, or any kind of fudge, whichever one you like. 17, Eat Your Veggies Day. And we're going to do that today. We're going to talk. Actually, this is a perfect week for a Father's Day menu. We can make a whole meal this week with it. Lobsters. We'll talk, a few ideas for lobsters. We've been featuring, bringing them in at Jake's. Started a couple of weeks ago. Prices are starting to come down, and it's good summer food. People love lobster. So we'll tell you, Father's Day dinner. Sushi. 18th is sushi day, if you happen to like sushi. And it could be anything made with vinegared rice, really. Rice was always the preservative for fish. The proteins would break down, and it would preserve the fish. And then when you were ready, the rice was actually thrown away, and then the fish was eaten. And it was probably one of the original slow foods, and now it's become one of the fast foods out there. Once your rice is cooked, it's relatively a few seconds for a master, at least, and they have your sushi rolls. So it's pretty interesting how that evolved from same ingredients and takes on a whole different form now. Now it's not, we don't worry about preserving the fish. We don't, we eat it still uncooked, but it's absolutely fresh. And versions of it, sashimi is strictly raw fish. Some people will blend that term with other products just to indicate something that's not cooked, a sashimi or a carpaccio, anything. You see that on menus. And some, if you don't have the skill to do rolls, a scattered sushi is always nice. Kind of the same ingredients, And you'll take the nori leaves, toast them, and just snip them into little shreds. So you have your flavor. And then you kind of scatter the ingredients around, kind of eat it like a salad, I guess. 19th, Martini Day. So we do have, once in a while here, a beverage day. And, of course, the question, how old school, it was always gin, then it became vodka. And now, my owner, Steven, tells me it's anything in a martini glass. You see chocolate, you see espresso, you see things with cream in them. And those are always cocktails, but they were not called martinis. But it seems to be now anything in a martini glass is called a martini. So whether you're a purist or not, in the summertime, of course, a gin and tonic is always refreshing, but we'll maybe figure out a nice martini for Father's Day. Great way, could, you know, it's one of those drinks, very good aperitif because of the vermouth in there, the herbs and everything. Probably shouldn't have three or four before dinner, but one really does get your taste buds in motion. Nice chilled martini. 20th is vanilla milkshake day, and 21st is peaches and cream. So we can probably throw a nice menu together with most of these things. You start with a martini, have lobster for a main course. The veggies, we'd like to explore a few examples of those. And by vegetables, I don't just mean one or two vegetables tossed together. We'll talk the classics, the ratatouille, the succotash, even a pepperonata, a risotto, even a paella, which is a lot of vegetables in that. First made with, you know, meats, frog legs and snails, I think. Now it's become seafood, but I like even a vegetable version, kind of an all-purpose thing. Cook the rice the same way, and then can garnish it with different grilled proteins. Kind of helps avoid the dilemma of food sensitivities or tastes or allergies. You know, if somebody can't have seafood, you don't want to leave that person out. So we've kind of adapted the paella to a nice vegetable dish. So this is what we're talking about. Maybe so a couple of ways to do potatoes, a nice salad. Chopped salad is a nice vegetable mix for the summer. And of course, dessert, peaches and cream. Give you some variations on that. Actually, you could combine that with the milkshake, make a peaches and cream milkshake, and we could have the whole week's worth of food celebrations covered in one meal. Pretty cool. And of course, I know I mentioned lobster as a main course, but we'll talk about, we have letter R today, so something I ran across interesting. Called a reverse sear steak. So we're going to throw that under R this week, under cooking techniques or terms. Something you probably won't see on a menu, but I just ran across it and thought, nah, I'll check it out. Makes sense. So our letter R is this week. Some cooking terms, a couple of utensils, and then we can get into some of our techniques for the week. R month also, I guess, months with R in them forever was raw oysters were to be avoided. And, of course, to me, summertime when it's hot, a nice chilled shellfish appetizer, actually dinner, is great. Plus, you know, if you talk about a chef's day off, and then if chef doesn't have to cook, that's even better. Have raw oysters and clams and carpaccio or sashimi, and we'd be just fine. But the R months, that was in days where refrigeration wasn't very good, so it was basically your summer months. You would not consume raw oysters. And also, in some areas, when the water does get warm, the oysters get a little milky. They're not as briny and plump. The way it is now, of course, there's so many oyster beds up and down the coasts that 12 months a year, we have good oysters. I tend to gravitate more toward the north, of course, in the summertime. Anywhere from Prince Edward Island, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, any, you know, Oyster Bay Harbor, New York, anything, the water's good and cold. And, of course, shipping refrigerated the way it is, we don't have any issues with the R months. So We're going to break for a couple of messages and then jump into some of these food holidays and a couple of cooking terms under R and utensils that we might use, and see where it leads us. Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, HuntonChamber.org, for more information today.
Hey, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill going through some R words related to food menus, cooking terms. So when you see in a recipe or even on a menu description or something that's reduced or a reduction, what does that mean? So obviously to reduce something makes it smaller. So we talk about that with stocks or with sauces. And what we do is simmer them to evaporate water. And when we evaporate the water, of course, it concentrates the flavor. Now, for some substances like wine or vinegars will reduce it to concentrate even the acid, the strength that will help, say, in with a white butter sauce, flavor it. And actually, the acid helps thicken it a little bit. We do it, actually, a perfect example is balsamic vinegar syrup. It's a great one-ingredient sauce. It becomes that combination of sweet and sour. You, of course, have got vinegar, but it's aged. And you don't need the real, real expensive stuff. But actually, I guess what the reduction does is kind of emulates the 30-year balsamic that just by evaporation in the casks gets very thick. But you can take good, decent balsamic vinegar and simmer it. We'll reduce it by, you know, probably 80% or so. And it gets thick and syrupy. The bubbles will start getting, just like when you're caramelizing sugar, the bubbles get kind of big. You can see them change there. And I will sometimes add a pinch of salt, but really we use it on a couple of dishes at the restaurant. And to me, it's, and again, it stores well. You don't have just, it's just vinegar. So a reduction, when you see that, reducing stocks. We have to remember when you're reducing broths or stocks is that you're taking away water, so flavors will stay behind, but so will salt. And that's why it's really difficult to use canned chicken stock or broths to do reductions. You really need to make your own. Sometimes it's better, in the case of, say, a pan sauce, if you use actually water and a little bit of wine or something and some herbs and let that reduce with the brown bits and the fond that's in the pan, and you're almost better off. Add a little salt and pepper at the end. You'll get flavors in there, but better to not have it too salty. Ragu, R-A-G-O-U-T or R-A-G-U. We see it both ways. And, of course, the one is a brand name of a tomato sauce, the Ragu, R-A-G-U, but that comes from the Italian cooking. That's normally a bolognese, a meat sauce that's cooked long and slow, simmered, actually reduced a little bit. You have meat and broth, aromatic vegetables, sometimes a little pork, and the idea is to add milk to it and let that just cook down. My brother says it's putting the milk back in the cow, as it will. You've got meat sauce, and you don't want it to be creamy. That's just going to absorb that milk and enrich it. Some people finish it with a little bit of cream at the end to avoid that long reduction, but really you need to cook it slowly. And the ragu, the other one, R-A-G-O-U-T, is a stew, a French term. So you see a ragu, sometimes even with the vegetables, you'll see it. A vegetable ragu would imply that they're several vegetables kind of braised together. Which, of course, the classic one. Today we'll talk summer. Always can't have summer or fall without ratatouille. So we'll talk about that later today. When you see a ravioli, now we all kind of know a ravioli is a little pasta pocket with some cheese or some meat or cheese and vegetables in it. Seafood, many, many varieties out there. But some chefs have taken license, they'll call it an open ravioli, which means they don't seal the filling inside the pasta. Rather, they would, and usually it's a large one, probably called a raviolo, with a pasta sheet that's cooked and then some filling and then a pasta sheet laid over top and then some kind of garnish or sauce. And nothing wrong with that. And also the, what they call the nudies, G-N-U-D-I, I think it's spelled, and that's actually the ravioli filling, usually done with spinach or veal. And you don't have the pasta, you just have the, like a dumpling. I think when we do our veal and ricotta meatballs, and of course there's gluten-free, there's no breadcrumbs in it either. And if you poach those small pieces, that would probably be close to what we're talking about. Roasting, our word, of course, implies cooking something in the oven, but originally roasting was done over the over spit roasted, meaning the turning a rotisserie, another utensil here we can look at. The range is our stove. Rotisserie, of course, we have a heat source and then some mechanism for turning the product so it cooks evenly. Sometimes they're electric. It could be gas. There's actually probably attachments for your gas grill outside that you have a skewer there, whether you're your chickens or your roast or whatever you're doing. And the slow turning just allows for nice, even cooking, kind of rocks the juices back and forth inside the proteins there, get the skin crispy. Oftentimes, there's a drip pan to catch the fat, and that would be brushed back onto the meats. Say if you had a lamb roast, sometimes you'd catch the fat drippings and use a rosemary branch to give it even more flavor and kind of brush the fats back on, or the juices with that. And then we have spit roasting, oven roasting, of course, a little bit different, a little harder to get crispiness because of the humidity, especially in a gas oven. That's kind of the difference between, I mean, you could put something in an oven and kind of turn it over and turn it over, but really the difference is the humidity inside that closed oven that makes the difference between oven roasting and spit roasting. Pan roasting, one of my favorites, of course, would do it, and usually for smaller cuts. You can do it totally on the stove, a good, fairly heavy pan with a lid, and we slowly, I've done it, say, large chicken breasts, we do it, you know, big pork chops, even anything that, you know, beyond like an individual portion. And what we do is partially cover the pan and baste it with the liquid that falls off it there, usually butter or oil. You can partially cover with the lid so you're not really steaming it, and you still got good radiant heat coming from around this pot. Or what we do in the restaurants, we start something in the pan, get a sear on one side and flip it, and then finish it in a 450 degree oven. It's still in the pan, it's getting nice, the browning on both sides. You have some fond in the pan to make sauce with, but you don't have to sit there at stovetop and watch it. It's kind of cooking from all the way around. Gets it started quicker instead of just putting cold product into a hot oven and let, you know, the temperature drops, you try to catch it up. You get nice browning. Favorite for fish, nice thick fish fillets like halibut or swordfish, tuna, and you sear it on one side, flip it, and at 450 seems to be a good temperature that you would achieve, say, on the stovetop for sautéing. So you're kind of sautéing, but it's for thicker pieces, and finishing them in the oven, again, you don't have to watch them as closely, and that's what really helps us do these things to order as quickly as we can in the commercial kitchen. The term roux, R-O-U-X, most people may be familiar if you've cooked it all, a combination of fat and flour. You need to cook it a little bit, break down the starch in the flour, is used for thickening. And, of course, the Cajuns have several levels of roux, right, from blonde right to black, depending on what they're making. And the rule is, of course, as you get a darker roux, it loses some of its thickening power, but it has great flavor for an etouffee or any kind of smothered dish like that. Gumbos, the brown roux is really what gives it. You've got that very hot, too. Be careful with these when you're making these roux. But if you ever play around with it, it's fat. You know, you could use clarified butter, or usually oil is better. A lot of recipes call for melting butter, whole butter, and then adding the flour. And I kind of take exception to that. Butter is only 80% fat, most butter. So you've got 20% of, you know, water, milk, solids, things like that. And unless those cook out, you add the flour. And sometimes people wonder why the sauces get lumpy. I mean, if you cook the roux long enough, it should work, but truthfully, using whole butter, you still throw some water in there, and that's where you could get some lumping problems. So, just, you know, be cautious of that. It's better to use a neutral oil like canola than mess with the whole butter, plus a little more cost-effective. And then, of course, the reverse sear, which you may not see on menus. I mentioned that earlier, that we're going to explore that process for our steak. Could be a good little trick for you. And then, of course, utensils. We mentioned the range, rotisserie, rolling pin, So if we're going to make peaches and cream, say we're going to make a cobbler, we might need a rolling pin to do that. And my favorite one, I had a marble one that nice keeps that nice cool temperature, especially for a pie crust where you don't want to melt the shortening or the butter bits that are in there. The marble rolling pin, and plus it's nice and heavy. But you see anywhere from a simple dowel that you would use for rolling pasta to one where you have the roller with, you know, the two handles and the rolling thing is freewheeling, let's say. Or in a pinch, use a Bordeaux or a Chianti wine bottle with a bottle with the high shoulders there, and you've got it's glass. You could fill it with cold water and probably get the same effect. You just don't have two handles. Let's see, ramekins, ring molds are both circular. Ramekin is a little, usually oven-proof, small casserole for custards or anything you're baking like that, individual portions. And, of course, ring molds for presentation have become like the new darling of cooks and chefs. Cookie cutters, basically, in circles, but you can get a kit of different sizes. And if you're serving a fancy stacked vegetables or meats, rice, things like that, helps with your presentation. Then, of course, a ricer that most kitchens, if you do mashed potatoes at all, we know the best way after they're cooked is to rice them so we don't activate the starch in them too much, especially if you're using an Idaho potato. The ricer is the best way. You get a nice smooth little potato there, get the lumps out, and then just mix in your butter and cream. So we've got a break for news, and then we'll start to build our Father's Day dinner with some of these food celebrations that we're going to eat this week. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is ready to make his case for the presidency.
Jeb Bush expected to make the announcement he's running for the White House today at Miami-Dade College, the nation's largest university. Bush released his campaign logo, which is simply the name Jeb, in bold red print with an exclamation point after it. I'm Chuck Gomez.
Two Brooklyn Brothers guests at a posh wedding reception at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel Saturday night have been charged in connection with a shooting in the lobby. Wedding guests heard the commotion but weren't sure what to make of it.
We were just walking in and we just heard a gunshot. I thought something got dropped.
The NYPD says Vladimir Gutlevsky accidentally fired a black Ruger handgun he was carrying in his pants pocket. The bullet struck the floor and fragments of glass, marble, and other debris, wounding four people. Authorities are now into their 10th day of hunting for two convicted killers who escaped from a maximum security prison in upstate New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo says David Sweat and Richard Matt could be anywhere, including Mexico. This is USA Headline News.
I want you to imagine for just one second, what would it be like if you grew up in a country where there were no Bibles? And while you're thinking about that, imagine this, hearing the gospel, but not having a Bible that you can actually study and learn from. There's something that I want you to be involved in that this show is committed to, and that is bringing Bibles to those in Africa. Only one in 14 Christians in Africa have their own Bible. Many people hear the word but don't have a Bible to study with. So that's why we've decided to partner with Bible League International to help bring those Bibles that are so needed to Africa. And the best part is it only costs $5 to provide a Bible to someone in Africa. If you want to talk about a donation that can have a massive impact, imagine $50 gives 10 Bibles to people that need them. $100 will send 20 Bibles to Africa. So right now, I'm asking you to call 1-800-YES-WORD and give at least $5 to provide a Bible for someone in Africa. That's 1-800-YES-WORD, 1-800-937-9673.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right, we're back at the table. Chef Bill here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Trying to build maybe a Father's Day dinner here. So we'll start, of course, with our martini and vodka or gin. I guess the original James Bond, whenever that seemed to be when vodka started becoming the popular beverage of choice for this drink. And apparently that this was three parts vodka, one part gin, or three parts gin, one part vodka, I guess, and then used Lillet, a French aperitif, instead of the vermouth, which is kind of cool. You still want that herby. It's a fortified wine, just like vermouth. Got a lot of little herb flavors. I think the Lillet, the standard, I think, garnish with that would be orange. Orange is nice with gin. And, of course, shaken or stirred. Rule, I guess, for bartending, citrus such as lemon or lime gets shaken. Everything else, even orange juice, gets stirred. And when you're stirring a drink like this, Martini Manhattan, you want to stir it a few times. Part of it is to get everything together because you've got a couple of different densities of things, maybe, especially if you have something sweet in there. And also you want it to chill, and then the alcohol melts the ice. You want the strength of the cocktail to come down to a reasonable amount. You don't want to just give it two or three stirs, or just, you know, pour it over ice and take a sip right away. So you can, nice thing with these, you can make them by the pitcher, or you could set up a little table where you have some different vodkas or gins, and maybe different appear at the different types of vermouth. Let people kind of do their own. But in a pitcher, if you make the martini and, of course, stir it with the ice and strain it, now you want to keep it cold. So it's a couple of ways. There's chillers now that have a tube down the middle of the vessel that you put ice cubes in, and it keeps the beverage cold without diluting it anymore. So it's one way to do it, or just put it in a bottle and or a carafe, and then sink it in a tub of ice with water and a little bit of water, so it keeps it cold. But I don't know, good way to start off, or just have gin and tonic, right? Anyway, so we go now for vegetables. Of course, eat your veggies. There's the classics out there, and don't mean to say that there's nothing else naturally. I'm sure Indian food and probably some of the Asian countries, cultures that are in the Middle East, cultures that are a little more, or I should say a little less protein as far as the center of the plate, do more with vegetables. I think what I've seen mostly the Indian cooking, a lot of times there'll be a variety of vegetables, but each one cooked in a little bit separate different way. So you have a nice array of taste and flavors, and you may mix them on the same plate, but may not be a whole conglomeration. There's a couple of classics. I mentioned ratatouille as one of the ideas. And actually for our dinner, a chopped salad, of course, would be an uncooked version of, I guess, right, a mixed vegetable thing. You know, a Greek style. We do it kind of Mediterranean style at the restaurant with the feta and olives. But really, like an old steakhouse style. The lettuce you want, iceberg works, but a butter lettuce or bib if you want something a little bit fancier. and some pepper, green or red pepper, diced. Since it's summer, if you have some corn that's cooked, wouldn't hurt to have a little corn in this chopped salad. You don't have to chop the corn. It's small enough anyway. Some nice tomatoes that are diced up. Cucumber. Some celery heart, just the nice white hearts of the celery so you don't get the strings in there. Some nice red radishes. So these would be all diced to a uniform size, except, of course, the corn is the kernels. And you can prepare this ahead. You can keep the ingredients separately in little containers. We're also going to need some capers and anchovies if you like, or if you want in the dressing, just a dash of Worcestershire sauce, which is an anchovy extract. Usually you can substitute that if you don't have them or don't want to use the little fish in there. And this one, I'm recommending just a simple olive oil, red wine, vinegar, and salt and pepper. And I said the dash of Worcestershire if you like. But instead of, you know, some people take the salad, and especially when it's warm, you know, you want to kind of go easy on the heavy dressings. You want something a little bit lighter. So save the gorgonzola dressing for the cooler weather. Not that it's bad, but in this one, you know, so everything you have separately, then at the last minute, you combine all the ingredients, dress it, and then you have a nice chopped salad. And you could add a little cheese or something. Again, outside, you know, in the heat, sometimes the cheese is a little bit overkill. So we have a nice chopped salad. Now, what we're doing at the restaurant now with lobsters is we cook, we'll take a 1.5-pound lobster and steam it till it's done. And we do what's called a lobster Cobb salad. So we have a regular Cobb salad with the bacon and the tomatoes, avocado, all that, all the goodies. And we serve a chilled half lobster. And what we do is we'll take the, wash out the body cavity, and we crack the claw and knuckle meat, take it out of the shell, and put it back in the body. So you've got the whole tail. We present it right in the shell. We don't chop it up. This way everybody gets a half lobster. So that's one way of enjoying lobster on your Father's Day, especially if you're going to have steak later. There's maybe do a lobster Cobb or a little chopped salad with a half lobster garnish. It'd be a great way to start a meal. Now, as far as our steak, we're going to do this reverse sear, but this, we'll approach it now because we want to marinate this steak for a little while. And not to tenderize, you want a nice thick steak. You could, of course, porterhouse is the epitome. You get both. You get the fillet and the strip. A nice thick ribeye is good, especially if it's cut from the chuck end. So it looks like there's a little more fat in there, but actually that rib cap meat is very good. The ribeye, or even a big bone-in ribeye would be great on the grill. It would probably be close to a 2-pound steak, but really you want the thickness for this. You don't want thin steaks for this method. And the oil, and maybe, you know, a little garlic if you like, rosemary, something in the oil just to flavor the oil, and a couple of hours in the refrigerator. We're not going to add any salt yet, and we'll let this steak just sit and marinate in this flavored oil. When we go to cook the steak, we'll brush the marinade ingredients off so we don't burn anything. And that's when we'll do our salt and pepper. Sometimes, you know, some people like to leave till the end. So the steak's marinating. We're going to think of a couple of vegetable dishes. I like ratatouille, of course, and there's several ways people prepare it. I like to do it all in one pot. To me, a little skill as far as timing, because you've got to add the vegetables in order of their firmness. The firmest ones, your onions and peppers, of course, you start off with. And then you have eggplant. And I think ratatouille gets a bad name because sometimes it's just, you know, stewed tomatoes and eggplant, and people call it ratatouille. It really... I like to dice all the vegetables uniformly. Sometimes I'll do what's called a mini one, very small dice, or you can use, for a heartier vegetable side dish, cut them a little bigger. And I'll use some fresh tomatoes in it, but also a little tomato paste when I'm sautéing the onions and peppers and a little garlic. You do that just like you're making a red wine sauce. We'll put some tomato paste in there and almost let it brown on the bottom of the pan, give it that nice caramel flavor. Then, of course, the other vegetables that you're adding have some water in them, fresh tomatoes, squashes, things like that. So it's going to, you will need to add a little bit of broth or water to the ratatouille, but that tomato paste is going to help enrich that. So instead of using just canned tomatoes, I like to start with the paste and then use fresh tomatoes. And of course, your things that you add, definitely eggplant. We'd like to use at least the zucchini and or yellow squash. Mushrooms, if you like. I like them in there. They don't have to go in there. And I say the fresh tomatoes. And you braise this. You check your diced eggplant and squash. When that's cooked, you don't want it mushy. You want it just it's almost slightly firm, because you may be making this ahead and reheating it or keeping it warm. And you have your thyme, salt and pepper, if you like a little basil or something in there. Nice seasonings in there with the vegetables. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We're going to look at a couple more dishes for our Father's Day dinner, Chef Bill's Table.
Well, I should know by now that it's just a spam.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is offering chamber members ways to find new customers during this difficult economic environment with the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program. The Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program is a direct mail program which targets new homeowners and renters shortly after they move into the Hunterdon County area. The new resident program offers limited advertising space on a first-come, first-placed program and provides new residents with ongoing access to member ads and promotions through online web links. This ad program is only available to members of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, so act quickly to reserve your space today. For more information on the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail program, visit www.hunterdon.chambermail.us or contact Hunterdon County Chamber Mail representative at 1-800-267-3139 or email at adinquiry@chambermail.us.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
All right, back at the table here, winding down our food buy today. This is our vegetable dishes and ratatouilles. You can find recipes for. I like to kind of build them, kind of, and you use what's fresh. You know, in the fall, sometimes we'll do a butternut or delicata squash instead of the zucchini. The pepperonata, we were serving it with pork speedies couple of weeks ago. Stewed peppers and onions, always good with sausages. But I thought it's a nice complement to a steak. And I start with onions, and I use the, actually got some yellow peppers. So some nice, you know, red, green, and yellow peppers, diced onion. I get those soft. I always throw a little bit of crushed red pepper in the beginning, not so much for heat, but for flavor. Once the vegetables are soft, a little garlic goes in there, and then we add some tomatoes. Now, you can either use a little bit of canned plum tomato fillets are nice, or fresh diced tomatoes. You don't want it to be too like a tomato sauce. You just want the tomatoes to complement the peppers and onions. It is kind of a braised stew. You will get some liquid off the tomatoes. I put a little white wine in there and again, the Italian herbs, some basil and oregano. I salt at the end, you know, so everything's fully cooked and reduced so we don't get it too salty. And this would be great, you know, a combination actually with potatoes, almost kind of like a steak Murphy, I guess. A neat potato idea. I've sliced Idaho potatoes and grilled them. It takes a little while. You baste them and turn them. Very good. It's almost like a grilled French fry. You get the crispy outside and the soft inside. But a grilled baked potato is nice. And you can have your potatoes baked ahead for this. Split them in half lengthwise and then a nice flavored oil, salt and pepper. And you put them cut side down on the grill. And you get the little crisscross marks on there, just like a steak. After oiling, of course, you're going to get a little bit of a crisp texture on the outside. And they'll heat the potato through. Very, you know, easy way to serve a half potato in case people don't want that much. Another idea for lobsters. I should have mentioned lobster sliders, which we've been selling at the restaurant too. Like, make a simple lobster salad. For that, you know, when you're buying lobsters also, you can use the culls, C-U-L-L. They're lobsters that have one claw. Usually are a little bit less money, obviously. I like them for the sliders because you get a higher ratio of tail to claw meat. And the tails, of course, are a lot easier to clean than cracking the claws. The claw meat is, you know, if you've had lobster, is softer. It puts a nice color in there. Tail meat's a little firmer. So we like to use the culls. But simple. We chunk the lobster in fairly good sized pieces, and then but the celery we do very small pieces, minced celery, and not very much. Season it with a little bay, some lemon juice, and then mayonnaise, go very, very light. Literally, I'd say for 4 pounds of lobster meat, I might use 4 tablespoons of mayonnaise. Very, just enough to coat it, because it's a trouble sometimes. People kind of mayonnaise and celery things up there and try to stretch them out. But you really, the idea is kind of eat a lobster on a roll, the easy way. We do it on slider rolls. We griddle them with some melted butter so it warms them up. And you've got, so you've got a lobster salad and you got warm butter on a roll. Nothing better. And of course, for a vegetable dish, if the corn is, when the corn comes in season, we all like corn on the cob, but a good succotash is easier to serve, easier to eat. And we do is scrape the corn and make sure you save the corn milk that comes off of there. Lima beans, many people don't like. I like to use edamames, the soybeans, in that case, but I do like the limas. And succotash, remember, was any combination of corn and beans, so it could be, you know, in the fall, you know, maybe they were having dried corn and dried beans that were rehydrated, but it's any combination. I like in the summer to throw some string beans in there also, and maybe a little salt pork. Great with steamed fish. If you're serving fish or lobster as the main course, maybe the succotash would be the way to go. A little scallion at the end and heavy cream, because the sauce, the corn milk should help thicken it. What I've actually done sometimes, if don't get that much milk out of it, is take some of the corn and puree it raw and add that to help kind of make the succotash a little body to it, let's say. So now this reverse sear, we're running toward the end of the hour, this reverse sear. So we have our steak that's been marinated, so we brush off the marinade. You have your oven at 225, or probably you could do this, if you have a smoker outside, it'd be awesome. Something that just holds that 225 or so temperature. You're not really cooking the meat. It's almost like a chefs do the what's called a sous vide, the hot water bath. You can set the temperature, and the meat temperature will not rise above that whatever you have it set at. So what we're trying to do here is bring the meat to about 110 degrees, which is rare. So it's not going to look cooked on the outside. It's just going to be you're getting the internal temperature of this thick steak to rare, 110 degrees, and you check it with a thermometer. It's going to take a while. 225 is a very, very slow oven. So you do this, and then you let it rest for about an hour. And when you're ready to serve, whether you've got your very hot grill or cast iron pan, that's when you put your sear on with the salt and pepper. So you've already got your rare, so all you really need to do now is caramelize the outside. And you've still got your rare to medium rare steak. You don't risk overcharring the outside, although some people do like that Pittsburgh style. They like the real charred outside and almost raw interior. So the reverse sear, you know, it kind of makes sense, especially if you've got some large steaks, and it shortens down your final cooking time. I like to do larger steaks and slice them rather than try to do individual things. If you have a group, I think, and once the steak's cooked, again, let it rest for about 10 minutes and then slice it across the grain. Slice a nice, people then, you know, if you want, you know, a couple of pieces, you can then, if you need some that's a little more done, you can flash them back on the grill. But I think a thick steak sliced rather than small individual steaks always works out better. And of course, our peaches and cream. What can we say? Simple combination, but if your peaches aren't quite ripe, put them on the grill. It'll help concentrate some of the flavor and evaporate some water, and the sugars, of course, will remain behind. If you need a fast sauce, custard sauce, get French vanilla ice cream and melt it. That's basically a custard with the air into it. If you melt it, the air runs out. You'll have a somewhat thin but pretty tasty custard if you need it. But whipped cream is fine. Macerate the peaches in Marsala first if you like. Some people do a kind of a cream cheese cake with the peaches. Sabayon would be great. or make a peaches and cream milkshake. Instead of being so formal, take your ice cream, use...